Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Chase. This is a Spawn Daily episode. Today, we're going to be talking about issue 75. Last time we left off Spawn, he'd been swallowed by the Heap. He was basically vanished from Earth. Even his sigil was no longer attached to him, which told Bootsy, who found it in the alley where the battle with the Heap took place, that Spawn wasn't on Earth, wasn't in heaven, wasn't in hell. So really interesting. We also saw Sam and Twitch get a file on Al Simmons and started to put the pieces together. They know that Jason Wynn is involved, and they're out looking for Spawn as well. So a lot of moving parts, but Spawn, has he been erased from existence? You know, where is he? What was the whole deal with him falling for a long time before he finally found Eddie Beckett, and then some force, some being, some thing was speaking through Eddie Beckett and told Spawn that he was going home. So what does that mean? Is he going back to the past? Does he get to be with Wanda finally? That's what we're going to check out and see. So just a quick reminder what we're doing here, Spawn Daily. We talk about Spawn every day. I mean, as long as I get an episode out. But yeah, we're going to go through using a reading order put together by a gentleman named Blake Whitlow that has all the issues of the main series of Spawn, as well as all the other tie-ins and crossovers and miniseries and what have you, in pretty much a reading order that makes sense chronologically. And hopefully toward the beginning third of next year, we'll get caught up with the most recent stuff. Although I have been thinking about just starting to review the recent stuff as it's coming out, Rat City, Sam and Twitch, Case Files, what have you. So if you guys want me to go ahead and start reviewing concurrently the new stuff before we actually get there in the reading order, let me know down in the comments, and I can see if I can make that happen. But trying to get caught up on the reading order for now, but I can definitely look to that in the future. So anyway, let's go ahead and talk about the issue. As I said, issue 75. I'll take note of that cover that you're seeing there. You know, it's very Christ-like in a way, I suppose you'd say, with Spawn kind of kneeling there. It looks to be like what's a crown of thorns. So, really cool design, almost the sigil or the, you know, the sign of Spawn behind him. And then on the credits page, written by Todd McFarlane and Brian Holgan, as the last few issues have been. Pencils by Greg Capullo, inks by Danny Mickey, with a special thanks to Scott Dude Kobayashi. Copy, editor, and letters by Tom Orzechowski. And then colors, as it has been the last couple issues, Brian Haberlin and Dan Kemp. But this time we have Tyson Wengler joining as well. So we do have a little summary in there. It mentions the stuff that I just talked about. Sam and Twitch researching Spawn, the battle between Spawn and the Heap, and Spawn vanishing, basically, but being welcomed home. So first page is kind of interesting. It's got some of that sort of flowery dialogue that we were talking about last issue with Haberlin on board, or maybe it's McFarlane just upping his game. But it's talking about being birthed, right? Being birthed out of a womb. And kind of interesting. I don't think I'd want to be birthed out of this womb with vines and the thorns and what have you. But it does, as you go along the panels, Capullo does a good job of kind of opening it up, right? And that last one, you can kind of see Spawn in silhouette there, exiting this this tunnel, if you will, that's kind of lined with thorns. But it's that bright blue sky, right? That sense of freedom, that sense of something beautiful, that sense of coming home, like I was saying earlier, that Spawn's experiencing. And it is a very verdant and beautiful landscape once Spawn finally emerges. And, you know, his first question is, you know, where am I? Is this what it means to be born again? Did I die? Is this heaven? He just has absolutely no clue where he is. But as he's walking through and starting to explore this, he has a sigil as well. So that's what's so interesting. I thought his sigil was left back on Earth. Maybe he has more than one, not sure, but he senses that it's there. But his powers are gone. He's no longer tied to Malbolgia, wherever it is that he ended up. His link to hell is gone. And what does that mean? But as he starts to explore, again, that flowery language, and it's talking about how much lighter he feels. It's a green environment. He feels like almost like it's a dream, but as he walks, his dark heart, we're told, is lifted. I mean, we know Al Simmons is a kind of a cynical guy, but he really feels like he's at home. But what's interesting is, as you see him walk, he's leaving footprints there in kind of the dirt, and they're like smoldering. It's almost like, even though this is a beautiful place, Spawn is harmful to it. He's poisonous to it, even though it's bringing him a sense of peace. So he kind of wonders out loud where he is. You know, is this heaven? I don't understand what's going on. And as he's wondering about that, there's a movement under the ground, and all of a sudden a voice cries out as these thorns shoot up from under the ground and say, no, this is not heaven, it's paradise, and you're a viper in the garden. So even though it's not heaven, I suppose you could say, there is some biblical allegory there, right? The whole idea of Garden of Eden and a snake, a viper, you know, in the form of the devil, what have you, seems like almost like that's the role that Spawn is going to fulfill in this, wherever he is, this verdant paradise, as we're told. So meanwhile, back on Earth, the heat wave that's plagued the city for, you know, a number of days ever since the heap was created has finally dissipated, but now there's huge deluge of rain, there's thunder, there's lightning. We know from the conversation that Bootsy and Cagliostro had last issue that once Al Simmons is gone, once he's killed, once he's no longer on Earth, that will signal the beginning of the war. So that's something to consider, right? Like, if Spawn is truly gone, and the war between heaven and hell is going to finally begin, if you will, Bootsy said last issue that heaven is not ready. So they've got to figure out how to stop it. Bootsy's like, Cagliostro, what can we do? And Cog's like, you know, you might have some ideas about stemming off Armageddon, but that's, you know, way out of my sphere of influence. So, you know, this whole idea of final battle once Al Simmons, Hellspawn, is killed, that's sort of written in stone. So, you know, we couldn't save him from the heap, and probably not going to be able to save the world from this war that's about to start. Again, Bootsy focusing on the sigil, trying to figure out, you know, how come I can't sense him? He's not in heaven. He's not in hell. You know, where could he be? And Cog's like, well, wait, what do you mean? He's like, he's vanished. It's like he's been erased from existence, and, you know, no idea where he is. Meanwhile, while they're having this conversation, a bunch of the other residents of Rat City come up, and they're, Bootsy, what's going on? You know, we were trying to sleep, and now this rain and what have you. And Bootsy, he can't come right out and say, hey, I'm an angel, but he knows the end is coming, right? And so he tells them, you know, as much as he's come to care for these guys, these comrades of his, it's like, is your soul in order? Like, you know, there might not be much time left. You need to make sure you're right with God. And Bobby doesn't want to hear that. He's like, leave that for the church ladies at the soup kitchen. Like, what the heck are you talking about? You're joking around. And Boots is like, no, I'm serious. But obviously these guys are, you know, that's not where their focus is at all. So we'll see if Boots is able to persuade them. Meanwhile, at the Fitzgerald household, Terry's looking out the window going, man, this weather's crazy. I can't believe, you know, super hot, burning up just earlier today, and now we've got this rain, flooding, what have you. And then he hears Wanda cry out because while she's holding on to the pacifier, Cyan, that is, she's kind of having a little bit of a seizure saying, come back, come back. We know she has a link to Spawn in some way, and she senses that he's gone, and she wants him back. So meanwhile, Spawn meets the person behind the voice, or the entity, I guess you'd say, behind the voice. It's almost like he's been crucified by these vines here. And the guy says, hey, you know, you're Al Simmons, I presume. He's like, yeah, who are you? And he calls himself the Keeper. And he says he's the Keeper of, or he's a child of Green World. That's the dimension or the plane of existence or what have you that Spawn finds himself on. And he says, Keeper says he's the spokesman for the Emerald Parliament. And he says, the powers of hell don't work here. The powers of heaven are not going to work here. You know, your fate is entirely in our hands. We're in complete control. Spawn's like, well, what do you want? And he says, well, that remains to be decided. You are a threat and one that we can't really tolerate. And Spawn's like, I don't understand what you're talking about. And so the keeper kind of explains to him. He's like, look, this war between heaven and hell doesn't concern us, but the fact that you've chosen Our Lady, and when he says Our Lady, he's referring to Earth. He's like, the fact that you've chosen Our Lady to have the side of your battle, that does concern us. And that's why we sent this creature to fetch you. And he's referring to the heap. He's like, you thought there was only two battles to this war. You know, you've got a lot to learn and a lot to answer for. And, you know, Spawn, a lot of this stuff has been out of his control. So he's like, I don't really know what you think I can do. And the keeper says, look, this war that heaven and hell is raging over the collection of souls, like such hubris. You think man is the only life that's out there? There's no other life that's worth saving. And again, Spawn's like, what the heck does this have to do with me? And he says, well, it's not our way to, you know, just inflict pain. We're not out to torture people. We want you to learn. We want you to stop the madness, stop the battle, so you can save your race. You can save humankind. But in order to do that, you've got to understand the pain that you and the fellow humans have inflicted upon the world. You need to be made aware. And this awareness, these lessons are not going to come easy, but now it is your hour of awakening, is the way that the keeper puts it. So we get a couple of splash pages here from Greg Capullo that are really fascinating, and this is kind of what's going through Spawn's mind. This is what he's seeing in his mind's eye as he's, you know, again, that Christ-like symbolism. He's crucified on these thorns. And I do want to particularly note that Chapel's not here. But at this point, you know, I think Liefeld had been kicked out of Image and you know, taken, at that point, he still owned Youngblood and taken it with him and what have you. And so, you know, we have the other assassin of Al Simmons and a lot of these other characters that, you know, we've seen before, Sam and Twitch and Cygor and the Freak and Billy Kincaid, Cagliostro, Overt Kill, obviously Terry, Wanda, and Cyan, Jason Wynn, and really getting an idea of, Spawn is getting an idea of the pain that not just he's inflicted, but the pain that humankind has inflicted on Earth. And he's seen all the lives that he's touched since he's been back. So a fantastic job from Capullo with this this kind of montage piece. And he follows that up with another piece with kind of the more supernatural beings that that Spawn is involved in. And you can see the war, you know, about to break out, or what it'll look like when it's about to break out with the Earth there in the middle. You've got Malbolgia, you've got God is this old woman, you got the Seraphim, you've got the Violators and you know, the Fleabiacs and what have you, about to fight. And the flowery language again, saying Spawn can feel the anguish, he can feel all the other life that's going to suffer because of this war and because of what humans have done to the Earth. So as kind of a last vision, he sees himself, or at least some Hellspawn, as almost an angel, as God and Malbolgia faced off against each other. A radiant figure, could this be him, finding a way to forge peace between heaven and hell, a middle path that can, again, establish peace. And apparently this is what Spawn's fate is, or it's what the Green World wants of Spawn. And so after the vision's finished, he's released from the vines, he's released from the living crucifix that he's on, and the keeper tells him the situation's very grave. You're at a crossroads, now's the time. You're at the center of this war, but you're more than they've told you. And Spawn, again, he's like, okay, you know, I understand, but what do you want from me? And the keeper says, well, it's within you to stop this battle. But we can't take any chances. You've got to embrace your role, otherwise we are going to wipe humans from the face of the Earth. Do you understand? And before he can answer, the scene switches back to Earth. We have Cagliostro and Bootsy kind of yelling at each other, saying, I sense where Spawn is. He's being held prisoner. Bootsy's saying this to Cog. He's being held prisoner by Mother Nature. Mother Nature is striking back. And Cog kind of sarcastically, oh, I thought it was something bad. And Bootsy's like, you know, that insolence is not helping. And meanwhile, Bobby comes up. He's like, man, I think you're right. I feel like something bad's about to happen. Bootsy's like, what can we do? And Bootsy makes a decision. He's like, okay, we don't have much time. Give me some room. And Cog's like, what are you doing? And Bootsy says, I'm doing something you wouldn't understand. I'm sacrificing for another. You know, I just pray that this works. And so he takes the sigil and he holds it above his head and he recites some sort of spell or incantation or what have you. And a big beam of light shoots out from the sigil, and then the sigil breaks in half. And I'll talk about this in a second because it's not really clear to me exactly the way this all goes down. Is it planned? Did the keeper know? Kind of interesting when you think about it, because it does pull Spawn back. The spell and the breaking of the sigil does pull Spawn back to Earth. But right as Spawn starts to fade out, the keeper says, "You'll know the soul of your world better now, Spawn, when you get back. But it's a gift I don't think you'll be glad to have." So, did the keeper? Did the Emerald Parliament, the rulers of this verdant land, did they know that Bootsy was going to do this and bring him back? If Bootsy hadn't, would they have sent Spawn back as well? Did they have more to tell Spawn, perhaps? And Bootsy just interrupted. And once Bootsy interrupted, they're like, "Well, okay, we gave him the message that we needed to give him." That's what's not clear to me, right? Because they really, this Emerald Parliament, the Keeper, they clearly want Spawn to stop the war, so they've got to send him back. Or again, did they know that this was the way it was all going to play out? But as Spawn returns to Earth, we see on that bottom panel, Cyan recovers from her seizure, and she says home, because obviously Spawn is back. But man, he's not in good shape. He's got a waist. He's laying there, curled up in a ball on the alley, saying, "What does it all mean?" And Cog is kind of beside himself, like, "Oh my God, I can't believe it worked." You know, power of prayer. He's a cynical guy, doesn't really believe in that. And Bobby says, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And Spawn's like, "Oh, is that you? You know, I didn't know." And he's like, "It's okay. You know, Cog's here. He'll take care of you." And Bobby's like, "What the heck did you do, Bootsy? Like, I had no idea you had these sort of abilities or what have you." And Bootsy said, "Listen, I don't have much time. They're going to come for me. But I want to thank you. You taught me a lot of lessons. You taught me not to just observe humanity, but to care about it. You've been like a brother." And it's clear he's saying goodbye. And Bobby's like, what are you talking about? You can't, you know, leave me. We're pals to the end. We're a team." And Bootsy says, "Well, this is the end for me. But I'll be looking out for you, even if you can't see me. I promise I'll always be looking out for you." And Bobby's like, you're creeping me out." And Bootsy apologizes, like, "I'm sorry. I couldn't do more." And then he says, "They're here." And when we look on the next page, we see that the Seraphim have arrived, and they call Bootsy by his real name, which is Belezakal, and they call him out for breaking the covenant, interfering with the lives of mortals, giving aid to a Hellspawn. I mean, the thing is, though, context, right? Like, he did it to stop the war from heaven and hell, or between heaven and hell starting, a war that heaven's not ready for. So you kind of wonder, it's like, dudes, you probably can let it go, but of course they're not going to. They're saying he's got to go face judgment in front of the Seraphic tribunal, and maybe appropriately, Bobby's like, "Jesus H. Christ, what's going on?" And all Bootsy can say is, "You know, I did what I thought was right. You know, that's all I can ask. I can't do any more than that." And so they take Bootsy away. But as he's about to leave, he calls out to Spawn. He says, "I know you're weak, but you need to listen. They're afraid of you. They don't want the war to end. Think back to the deal you made with Valbolgia. How do you know you really made it?" And Spawn's like, what do you mean? I remember I was there." And Bootsy's like, "Yeah, but how do you know?" So I'm not exactly sure what he's hinting at, but clearly something of consequence. Maybe there's a way Spawn can get out of the deal. And the angels are yelling at Bootsy, saying, "Silence, stop being a traitor, stop giving him information." And the last thing Bootsy says is, "There will come a child, Al Simmons, look to the child." And he disappears. And Bobby's beside himself. "Bootsy, come back, do something." And Spawn, he's still out of it, still trying to recover from his ordeals. Like, a child, like, who could they be talking about? Could it be Cyan? Could it be somebody else? But as he's laying there with Cog kind of standing over him, Bobby there as well, he starts to feel the consequences of that quote-unquote gift that that the Keeper gave him, the gift that's not really a gift. And he's like, is this how it feels? To be thrown out of paradise, again, that Adam and Eve allegory, to be abandoned in the darkness, and he starts to feel the pain of the city, all these voices, they're all calling out to him, the city is alive, it's calling to him, and it sort of seems like it's not necessarily the people of the city, but the other life that's in the city, the other life that is sort of poisoned or damaged by the quote-unquote progress of humanity, the detritus, just the suffering. So the pains of society itself is what Spawn is feeling. And then we get the three talking heads, as we often do, to give some context. CNR woman talking about how it went from being really, really hot to raining millions of dollars in damage from these thunderstorms and lightning. The infotainment television guy talking about Shakespeare in the Park, a play that was interrupted, and people were literally washed off the stage. And then the crazy conspiracy guy telling us about a Catholic nun that went on a knife-wielding rampage and stabbed three different people and then leapt to her death, and then another arbitrage banker on the subway who blew his brains out. And he says, is this more of the so-called millennium fever, or are these people on to something? So it's a lot of that suffering, that malaise that society has. And as far as Millennium Fever, this came out toward the end of 1998. So if you're old enough to have lived through the change, you remember people buying a bunch of water and thinking electricity was going to, you know, go out and whatever when the year 2000 hit. It was crazy times. So, but anyway, a good issue. Fantastic art from Capullo, as we've had throughout. A lot of symbolism, like I said, with the idea of heaven and hell, and Spawn is like this Christ-like figure. We see him sort of crucified on that cross. The montage pieces are fantastic. Gives you a lot of context. You look back and go, oh yeah, I remember a story about that character or this character, you know, Violator and Cogliostro, Sam and Twitch, what have you. And then the idea of the battle between the forces of heaven and hell, also really cool. And then this angelic-looking Spawn is amazing as well. Those wings and his hands glowing with energy, and he's flying somewhere, and especially the detail of the wings is just amazing. Just fantastic. And I also want to call out the job he does on the Keeper as well. When he first shows up, how he's got the antlers made out of branches, and almost like a hood made out of leaves, gives him sort of a mysterious look, but you know, clearly he's of nature. He almost has like a, I don't want to say a centaur, like, but almost like a Floronic man, if you want to pull from DC. You know, not a swamp thing type creature, not a big lumbering creature like the Heap, or a massive vegetation like Swamp Thing. Very much humanoid, but with the glowing green eyes and stern face. And so, yeah, just a fantastic job from Capullo as usual. And also the cover itself, you know, again, talking about the allegory and biblical references and what have you, that crown of thorns, and Spawn kind of laid bare, not much of the costume, just kind of some remnants of the cape, if you will, just a really impactful cover. Like, look at that cover, you're like, man, what's going on with Spawn? I want to check that out. I want to read that. So a great job by all involved. So anyway, interesting things to come with Spawn. I appreciate you guys all joining me as always. Don't forget to leave some comments below. If you're not subscribed, I really appreciate you hitting that subscribe button. I'm trying to get up to 500 subscribers so I can monetize and hopefully make a little back to pay for a new video card that I had to get for the computer, and just hosting content and all that stuff is not cheap. But again, really appreciate everybody joining me. Tomorrow, I think, is issue 76, and then we're going to move over to some Curse of Spawn issues for three episodes. So again, you can go to the link in the show notes for the Spawn reading order from Blake Whitlow and see what's coming up if you want to read along. So again, appreciate the support, everybody. Thanks for joining as always, and we'll talk to you next time.